This is the Live Feed. It's your connection to live music and entertainment in Winona. Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Now, here's Terry Tenson with the Live Feed.
On this episode of The Live Feed, we visit with a slide guitarist and songwriter who describes his music as alternative blues. His sounds owe as much to trash country, punk, and rockabilly as they do to pre-war Delta blues. This individual from Scotland was visiting Winona on a U.S. tour. We learn about his unique music blend, songwriting process, his friendship with Charlie Parr, and much more. You're listening to The Live Feed. How's it going, Winona? It's KQAL, and this is Terry Tenseth coming at you. I have a special guest with us today, all the way from Scotland. You're in the U.S. You're touring around. What the heck?
We didn't come all the way today, though. Oh, the guitar's just fallen off.
That's okay. So, Dave Akari, you've been practicing music and performing music for a long time overseas.
Yeah, it's... I've probably been doing the solo thing, been concentrating on it probably for 7 or 8 years.
Yeah.
Full time. And it's been great all over the UK and Europe. But this is the first, this is my first tour trip to the USA. I've been across the South by Southwest a few times in the past. But this is the first proper tour. So I'm still excited, even though we've been here for a fortnight. I'm still kind of... Wow, we're really here.
So, want to kind of understand how you got started in music and why the instruments that you play.
Well, I got my first guitar when I was about 18 or 19, and I was working in a bank when I left school, and that was rubbish. I really didn't enjoy that very much. And I bought my first guitar with my Christmas bonus. We used to get a bonus round about December time. And not only did you get a Christmas bonus, they also gave you a day off for Christmas shopping. So I got my Christmas bonus and went my Christmas shopping day, came back with a guitar. And that got me started, really, I guess. But none of my pals were really interested. They all liked listening to music, but nobody really played. So I was kind of just trying to teach myself. And... well, some people say I still have no concept of timing or anything like that. I just picked up the guitar and did what I did with it. But I didn't really get into this playing national guitars until early, mid-90s. I'd had a band before that, and I was always a little bit better at playing the slide stuff than any kind of widdly-widdly. If somebody wanted a guitar solo, I wasn't your man. And it was kind of... I suppose the slide stuff, it just seemed to come more naturally, and I just seemed, I don't know if I preferred it and that's why, or I could identify more with it, but that seemed to be I seemed to be better at it. And then I discovered national guitars, probably about 1991-92. I was interviewing a guy who we stayed with last night, bizarrely, because he became a firm friend, a guy called Catfish Keith down in Iowa. And I was sent by a magazine, one of the UK blues magazines, to do an interview with him. And he had a national guitar. I'd never seen one, a steel-bodied guitar in the flesh. And I was quite impressed with that. And then after the interview, when he took to the stage, I was just like jaw-dropping. You know, I just thought, I want to learn how to do that. So that took me on a voyage of discovering people like Blind Willie Johnson, Bucca White, Sunhouse, all these kind of guys. And that's really how the thing kicked off.
So you got some years underneath your belt.
Well, it's not rubbish. It was just toothpaste in my beard. It stopped washing out a few years ago. It's a bit grey now.
Now, when you're talking about slide and national guitar, how is that different from what people might know as guitar?
Well, the main difference is that when you play any slide guitar, you tend to tune the guitar, not in a normal guitar tuning, but you tune it into what's called an open tuning. And that open tuning is basically like a tuning it and making a chord, so that when you strum the guitar, this one's tuned in C, so it kind of plays a C chord all by itself. Look, Ma, no hands. Now that immediately appeals to me because it's much easier than having to mess about with my finger. And also, if you're playing with a bottleneck or a slide, some people do play slide guitar in a normal tuning, but if you want to play what I would say finger style or solo, you really need to be in that open tuning to be able to keep some kind of alternating bass or not just be playing single notes. So the guitar's tuned into, I use two open tunings on this, what we term, I know your listeners can't see it, but at the moment I've got on what we term, it's a technical term, the shiny guitar. And the other one we call the black guitar. And that's because this one's shiny and the other one's black. But they're both National resonators. And these ones were custom made for me by National for a whole load of technical and logistical reasons. But they're the shiny one's based on a National Stylo, and the black one is based on a National Delphi. But they're both, well, the shiny one's actually brass with nickel plating, and the black one's steel with some kind of baked-on appliance finish, like an old cooker.
Now, you kind of gravitate towards the blues, but yeah, there's a lot of other stuff going on in there, too. Can you kind of give us an idea or describe yourself as a musician?
My official tagline is National guitar-driven alt blues that owes as much to trash country punk and rockabilly as it does pre-war Delta blues. But that doesn't really trip off the tongue so easy. And I've got a non-radio friendly way of describing it, but the radio friendly way might just be to say messed up alternative blues.
I understand where that could go.
And again, that was, it all developed from the inability to play normal guitar and learn stuff, so I just had to kind of find my own way of doing stuff.
Excellent. Can you give us an example?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do that.
Will we do a tune?
Sure.
This is one of my latest album, and it's not the title track, but it's my favourite song in the album, and it's called Cherry Wine, and it goes a bit like this.
Things just aren't what they seem. Have you ever tasted cherry wine? Have you ever tasted cherry wine? Have you ever tasted that cherry wine? Oh, the sweetest thing you'll ever find. Oh, the sweetest thing you'll ever find. Oh, the sweetest thing you'll ever find.
Yeah, sounded good. Yes, you better clap, Grant. Grant's in the background. Awesome. Can you tell us a little bit about your writing and what your process is like when you do compose?
Well, I think that song I've just played is quite a good example, because the songs that are my favourite songs tend to come out in just a few minutes, and they don't really take much messing about. The ones that are my least favourite songs are ones that, you know, I kind of labour over, and I maybe get a bit of an idea and then leave it and go back to it and then push it and pull it, and sometimes they're like pushing a square peg into a round hole, and they kind of come out a bit forced, and I'm never quite as happy with them. But the process itself, for me, the most important thing that it is that it comes from some kind of guitar riff, because I think it's, for me, it's the, because it's blues based, and I'm only playing in two keys, C in this guitar and G in the other, you know, it's very easy to fall into a trap where it all just sounds like regular blues. So the first thing I usually do is just mess about on the guitar until I come up with some kind of finger picking pattern or something that it maybe isn't groundbreaking and it maybe isn't so unusual, but to me, if I think, well, yeah, it sounds a wee bit off the beaten track, a bit left to centre, and I like it, and I think I can play it without getting my fingers too tangled up, that'll be where it starts, and then the rest of the song will build around that. And I often don't have any sort of theme ideas or anything like that. I'll just, as I play that riff, you know, I might just start singing a whole load of nonsense, and sometimes that nonsense just becomes a song. But the funny thing is, I say now that the songs don't mean anything, and I always think they're about nothing when I write them, and then a year or two later I listen to the song and think, actually, you know, that is about something. There must be something in the back of your head that you don't know about, and it just kind of comes out that way.
Subconsciously.
Yeah, I think so. It manifests itself some weird way, you know.
So you start with the riff and then the lyrics kind of come later.
Yeah,
whatever.
Pretty much so. And hopefully all within the space of about 5 minutes.
So you're not one that puts something on the back burner and comes back to it later?
They usually end up, it doesn't work for me. You know, as I say, these ones are the ones that come over to me as a bit laboured. And I can do it, and I've sometimes tried to write songs to order for people, but it's not really, it doesn't really work that well for me to do that.
Well, you live in Scotland. What's the music scene like over there? Is it heavy on blues or bluegrass, or kind of what's trending right now?
Not
and how do you fit in with that?
Not particularly. The scene, there's a good UK and particularly Scottish scene. And in Scotland, I would say Glasgow is probably, although Edinburgh's the capital city and Edinburgh's the place that everybody talks about. Of course, being a Glasgow boy, I would say Glasgow's much better. But there does tend to, Glasgow has been a kind of hotbed for music in Scotland. I'm not sure why. Perhaps some bands that came out of Glasgow more recently, I suppose people like Franz Ferdinand and Frightened Rabbit and Biffy Clyro are from the west. They're not from Glasgow, but they're from not far outside Glasgow. So these bands, I think when you get an act that starts to really break, it probably, there then becomes this big swell or undercurrent of, it encourages other people, I think. As far as blues goes, yeah, there's a fairly good, there's a few folk singer-songwritery, Americana blues-ish kind of stuff going on that are doing some quite interesting things. And as everywhere, there's like loads and loads of just regular blues bands playing covers and standards, which it's not for me, but it does a job. It gets people out listening to music, gets people playing music, gets people interested. So it kind of starts opening that door to people and getting them thinking about getting into music, you know, and not sitting in their backsides in front of the television, you know.
You're playing with Charlie Parr, as I mentioned before, and we were talking a little bit before you came in about how you met Charlie.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit more about that and the friendship that you two created?
Yeah, that was interesting. We were both playing a festival in a place called Clonakilty in the southwest of Ireland. It's quite far away from Scotland, but it's the bottom left-hand corner of Ireland. And they have an international guitar festival every year, and I'd been invited, I guess, as one of the UK or Scottish people. Charlie was one of the... There were quite a few Americans there. But being a guitar festival, there were lots of very sophisticated and accomplished guitar players. In other words, they do lots of that widdly-widdly kind of stuff, and they can play a million notes a second, and I started to feel a bit like a fish out of water, because I play with one finger, and occasionally a second one, if I'm getting adventurous. And the night that I was playing my main slot, in fact, the day before, the first night of the festival, they had a thing called a guitar summit, and they had four of us doing it, and there was an English guy or I can't remember where he was from. Myself, Charlie Parr, and another American guy. And Charlie and I got talking, and we realised that we both played a similar style, although it's different, but, you know, slide guitar. So we were like kind of kindred spirits amongst all this widdly-widdliness, because Charlie's a very accomplished guitar player, but he doesn't show off, he doesn't... You know, he just does what's needed. And I loved his sound, and so we almost became instant friends. And the next night, our main festival slots were adjacent to one. I think Charlie was on before me, and I was on right after, or the other way around. I can't remember, but we were both there for each other's shows, and we went for something to eat, and we just seemed to identify with each other, and. Strangely, we'd both been playing other venues in Ireland in the run-up to the festival on different days and at different times. But a lot of the newspapers had features that had both of us in them. And so we just seemed to kind of hit it off as pals. And then a year or so later, he was coming over to the UK, and we sorted out a local show for him, and he was touring with a band from over here called the Black Twig Pickers, and I think there was a guy, Jack Rose, who was real kind of big name, who's I think not with us anymore, but the Black Twig Pickers were across with Charlie, and we put them on in a show in our local hall. We live maybe about 25 miles outside Glasgow on the banks of Loch Lomond. And they all came and stayed in the village. Some stayed with us, some stayed with friends of ours in the village, and we had a really great weekend. It was a fantastic show. So we've always just kept in touch, and when I was coming over to do this tour, of course, I let Charlie know that we were going to be around, and he sorted out the show.
That's great.
So very cool.
You have a new CD out, right?
Yep.
Is it this year?
Yeah, just March it came out.
And Whiskey in the Blood, what is
Whiskey
it?
In My Blood, and yeah.
Whiskey in My Blood, yeah.
Never a truer statement.
As he bites himself. would you like to share a track or so from that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a title track, and I don't often play it live for some reason. I was going to play it last night in Iowa, and for some reason, before I knew it, the set was over and I hadn't played it. So we'll give that a wee bash.
All right.
This is, I'll do my best to remember the words. But anyway, it goes a bit like this. This is Whiskey in My Blood.
Say hello to trouble, don't mind if I do. Doesn't really bother me, 'cause it's all I ever knew. Whiskey in my blood and whiskey in my veins. The end of every hard day, it helps to ease my pain. smell of liquor, sweet smell of a grain. Sometimes make it hard for me even to recall my name. Whiskey in my blood and whiskey in my veins. End of every hard day, it helps to ease my pain. With the devil, hearing bad as hell. I'll be going away from here with lots of tales to tell. Whiskey in my blood and whiskey in my veins. The end of every hard day, it helps to ease my pain. Drink the devil's moonshine, you can feel it burn. All the way to hell and back and more till you return. Whiskey in my blood and whiskey in my veins. End of every hard day, it helps to ease my pain. Whiskey in my blood and whiskey in my veins. The end of every hard day, it helps to ease my pain. Whiskey in my blood and whiskey in my veins. The end of every hard day, it helps to ease my pain. Hey!
Well, you have something else to help ease your pain. You have a lovely lady that is joining us in studio, and this is your wife, right?
Yep.
Margaret. And how did you two meet? You're allowed to talk, Margaret, if you want to. There's a microphone right by you.
We met at a guitar festival, enough.
Yeah. You tell them while I change this guitar.
Yeah, I saw Dave and his band perform at a festival in Scotland called Kurt Michael International Guitar Festival, and I had nothing to do with music at the time. So I saw this crazy guy performing on stage with his band and thought, he must be completely nuts.
He's looking at her strange right now.
And the rest is history.
You know us women, we like trouble, right?
Well, the little bit in between is that there was another two guitar festivals, and I went. You went to both of them, but I could only make one of them.
Yeah, the year after we first met, because the year that we first met at this festival, we didn't even speak to one another. I'd been playing with my band. We were staying in some big fancy kind of, it was like a stately home on the festival site.
We saw each other across a crowded room.
Across a crowded room. Well, we have some mutual friends, because the people that organised the festival, I knew them and Margaret knew them independently. And Margaret was there because they did some workshops with kids from schools. And Margaret used to be a teacher, and she had all the disclosure and all the things to work with kids and make it all above board. And so that was really why you were there, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I was there to play a show with my band at the time. And our friends, mutual friends who organised the festival, I think on the Saturday had said, oh, let's go up to the big house and have some see Radio Tones. They're going to be hanging out there before their gig tonight. So Margaret and the festival folk and a few of your other pals all came up to the house, and I don't know why, but you didn't speak. You didn't speak to
terrified.
Me anyway. But we made you tea
all
and everything.
Strange musician types.
and that was that. I think you probably came to that show that night as well. Mm-hmm. And then the next year, Margaret wasn't at the festival. I noticed. And but I was playing there again. The following year, there was no festival that year. And then the year after that, I was back playing again, and Margaret was there, and I don't know, fate shook its head, or whatever fate does.
Well, you two certainly took your time.
So it took 3 years, you know.
So who made the first move then? Was it? Oh, Margaret? No, she's pointing at Dave.
I don't know. I think we both. You stood on a chair.
Let's not discuss too much about this.
No, there's nothing dirty. There's nothing dirty about it. I'll tell you, I can tell the story. At the end of the festival, in the village where the festival, because the Kirkmichael in Ayrshire in Scotland is known as the guitar village because it was home to this festival. And I think the population is something like 80 people. And when the festival's on, suddenly there's 20,000 people there.
That's great for their tourism.
Oh, it's amazing. But sadly, the festival is no more. Aww. Because the people that run it moved away, but there was one of the guys in the village who was always involved with the festival as well, had a party at the end of the festival on the last night for all the people who'd been working at the festival, for some of the artists if they were still about, and any other sort of local pals. And Margaret happened to be at the party, and I was at the party, and we were in the same company, I think. But Margaret's quite small. And my bass player, height-wise, she's quite small. And I'm making gestures here that are absolutely no good when you can't see them. So Margaret's only little. She's about 4 feet tall. And...
I'm 5 foot nothing, I'll have you.
4 foot 11 and a half, was that? And you were talking to... Certainly it was myself... And the bass player in the band I had at the time, in fact, that band's still going, but that's another story. He's like Man Mountain. He's about 7 feet tall and about 30 stone. So Margaret decided that to be able to talk to us properly, she was going to have to stand on a chair. And then I'm not really very sure what happened after that.
Okay. Yeah, something happened.
We mutually happened. Made the first move.
That's
yeah,
great.
Let's leave it.
Well, obviously something worked because you're still together and you look like to be very much in love, by the way, you two look at each other from time to time. So it's very sweet to see. Have you been a full-time musician for how long then?
Full-time doing this solo stuff for 7 or 8 years.
Okay.
Before that, I'd been self-employed, but I was playing in a whole load of bands and running a record label and managing other bands, doing a bit of writing for music magazines and photography, anything I could do to maximise these income streams and keep paying the bills. And then I moved back, I'd been away from Glasgow for a while, and I moved back to Glasgow, and by default rather than design, I got a job with the Musicians Union looking after Scotland and Northern Ireland. And in fact, that's what I was doing when Margaret and I met. And it was a great job, but I kind of got cabin fever.
Right.
And also realised that if I didn't do anything about doing this solo thing now, it was never going to... I'd be walking onto the stage with a Zimmer frame or something, or being pushed onto the stage, you know?
So it's going really well then. I mean, yeah, 7 to 8 years, that's a long run, actually.
I have to pinch myself to sort of think, you know, I would actually imagine to make a living from this. But, you know, when we're at home, Margaret, I can't say, it is a holiday for Margaret, although it's quite a stressful holiday for you. But, you know, at home, Margaret does all my gig bookings in the UK and Europe and the merchandising and works with sound engineers. And so we kind of work together. I concentrate more on doing the press and PR and stuff. And between us, all our videos are homemade, or all my videos are homemade. All the photos are, you know, press the button and run round, or I'll set up the shot and Margaret will press a button and some Photoshop work. So everything's kind of, it's like a wee cottage industry. Fiercely independent.
Did you ever picture yourself managing a musician?
No, it wasn't in my to-do list.
Yeah, because after we met, Margaret lived in Dundee on the east coast of Scotland. You sold your house, made your three kids, who all were in their 20s, homeless, and jacked in your job to come and work with me. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if that's a leap of faith or a leap of madness or a leap of love or...
Could be everything.
Maybe all of these things.
But we are having a lot of fun.
That's great. Well, let's hear another song.
Okay, this is the nearest thing I do to a love song. It really is. There's a story to this as well, but if I start telling the stories, I'll just get sidetracked and I'll never play the
We can tell the story song. Afterwards.
This is a wee romantic ballad called Hangman's Blues.
Well, midday sun, Sean and Cherokee Bill, as he stood by the gallows pole. Oh, hangman asked, anything to say before I take your soul? Oh, I didn't come here to make a speech, he said, just came here to die. Search lights lit the blackout ripper, he was prepared to hang. Well, he heard sirens screamed above, he stood there and sang. Well, I didn't come here to make a speech, he said, I just came here to die. Lady Godiva never rode again. The sassy blonde was hanged. Well, the last lady never made a sound as the trapdoor below was banged. Well, I doubt she came to make a speech. I think she just came here to die. Well, I doubt she came to make a speech. I think she just came here to die. Well, I doubt she came to make a speech. I think she just came here to die.
Awesome. Thank you. So, that sweet love song you just wrote.
That was lying.
I know. I know. Get him going for a while.
Sweet though, was it not?
Yeah. Sweet sounding. What is the story behind that?
This is one of these songs where I actually, the tune and the guitar bit all just spewed out in probably 90 seconds. And I thought, what am I going to write this about? And I happened to see something online about this guy called Cherokee Bill who was on the gallows about to be hung, and somebody asked him, or the hangman or whoever, the jury asked if he had anything to say before the drop, and I think his the quote was, I didn't come here to make a speech, I just came here to die. And I thought, that sounds quite cool, I could maybe write a song about that. And then I thought, right, okay, well, that's one verse, I'd better find some other hanging stories.
Oh, my.
So I researched a couple of hanging stories that were maybe quirky. And the second verse is about a guy, sort of Jack the Ripper kind of guy in England, in London, during the war. And he was hung during a blitz as the bombs were falling and air raid sirens were going off. I thought that was quite interesting. And then there was the last verse is about the last woman to be hung. So, and I can't really remember all the ins and outs of it, or where Lady Godiva and her last ride came from, but like chicken licking, you know.
So you'd like to research, apparently.
Well, it's the only time I've done that, and I quite like that song. It's me trying to be clever, you know.
I like it. Every musician or artist, for that matter, has what we call embarrassing moments or learning moments, maybe epiphanies throughout their career. Have you had any that stick out in your mind?
Embarrassing moments.
Or epiphanies?
Embarrassing moments every day.
This is true.
Epiphanies. I'm not really very sure. What is an epiphany? Just
a
realization.
The light bulb in your head, yeah. Or a learning moment.
Nothing that I could say on air, I don't think, really. I'm quite nice, really. But if you come to the gig tonight, I might reveal a few facts. where anti-Tourette's button doesn't work, you know. But no, I mean, things that kind of, you know, one of the things that happens most often is that I forget to plug my guitar in and I get all keyed up, especially if it's a big gig and you go out in front of the crowd and it's, you get ready for this big start and, you, and everything's cool and you hit the guitar and nothing happens. It's like, oh God, what have I... And you, what, you just stand there looking like a turkey, you know. So that's always an embarrassing thing, you know.
Well, at least you're excited.
And things that... No, it's more actually things that go wrong and take the wind out your sails. I get quite stressed sometimes by worrying about things that might never happen. But, you know, like breaking strings and stuff, it kind of takes the wind out your sails, but it's not really embarrassing. Sometimes I start talking a real load of rubbish in between songs. Or if I'm changing a broken guitar string, I start a story and then I completely forget what I'm talking about, probably like now. And just start talking a whole... It's bad enough. The people in Scotland don't know what I'm saying, but, you know, over here, people are looking at me and thinking, well, OK, I know he had to be an alien of some kind of international reputation to get his visa, but I think he really is an alien. I can't understand a word he says.
I think we understand pretty well. Let's hear another one, if we can.
Actually, this is the very first... You were asking about songwriting. This is the very first song I ever wrote.
Excellent.
It's called Good Friend Blues.
I got a good friend, troubles just like mine. Mine. I see them coming like a lightning storm. I see them coming like a lightning storm. Then they hit me like a cherry bomb. Told me, son, you're not alone. My daddy told me, son, you're not alone. That was then, now it's 10 years gone. Set for my good old friend. So now I'm lonesome. Set for my good old friend. I ain't got no more trouble right until the end.
How you feeling? She's got water for you. Look at that.
Oh, yeah.
She really is helping.
Whiskey
you.
Out of water. Whiskey in my water.
Okay. You have a website. You have a Facebook.
Yeah,
you should fill us in on that.
I'm a social networking fiend.
Yeah.
But the website is at www.davearcari.com, and that's Arcari, A-R-C-A-R-I, everybody gets it wrong, apart from you, who pronounced it fantastically.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And then from there you can find all the Facebook page, my personal profile, Twitter, Instagram, blah, 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 blah.
Everything.
YouTube, all these things.
Dave, thank you so much for joining us. Margaret, thanks for joining us. Grant,
thank you for having us.
Oh yeah, Grant, thanks for sitting in and let me take over your radio show. You're listening to 89.5 FM KQAL Winona, your radio alternative, and KQAL.org.
Thanks so much to Dave Arcari and his wife Margaret McDonald for visiting with us on the live feed. More information on Dave can be found at www.davearcari, that's www.davearcari.com. You can also find him on Facebook. I'm Terry Tenseth, and you've been listening to The Live Feed.
Thanks for listening to The Live Feed. The Live Feed is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information on tonight's show, visit us at kqal.org.